Kaffee in seiner besten Form. Mit Cubo wird jeder Kaffee auf Knopfdruck zum Genussmoment. Denn mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo genießt du feinsten Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Vollmundige Aromen dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie und über 17 Sorten Kaffee für jeden Geschmack. Erlebe Premium-Kaffee schon ab 29 Euro. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
Stu does America.
Welcome to Stu Does America. Hope you had a lovely Memorial Day weekend. Dave Landau is here in a minute to react to the slap heard around the world. No, not Will Smith this time. We're talking a little French version of it. We'll also get his take on a few other crazy stories of the day, but we're going to start by doing the EPA 2.0. I'm liking the EPA 2.0. You know, it's like the conservatives used to say, you know, just shut up and sing. And then some singers came out and they started making songs that were kind of conservative sounding, and people were like, yeah! Like, they don't. Look, the EPA, I don't want the EPA to exist at all. I don't think Donald Trump does. I don't think most of the people in the EPA right now want it to exist. But if they're going to do good things, hey, it's here already. Let's get the good things. Let's let it all roll at this point. Documents show EPA wants to erase greenhouse gas limits on power plants. This is a really interesting development. And, you know, so far, the second term Trump EPA has been pretty good. I've liked a lot of the stuff they've done. Draft reviewed by the New York Times said the agency is proposing to repeal all greenhouse gas emissions standards for fossil fuel fired power plants. That would include Biden era requirements that existing coal fired units capture carbon pollution before it leaves the smokestack and store it. And it'll require some new gas plants to use technologies that pollute less. The EPA sent the draft to the White House for review on May 2nd. Could undergo changes, but is formally released to the public, given the opportunity to offer comments, likely in June. So that's kind of where we stand now. And if you think about this, this is a big deal because, you know, these when you think about your electricity bill, when you think about the cost of powering the country, these power plants are a huge part of it. And when you limit how they can produce the fuel that you need, you wind up driving up the cost of that energy. That's why your power bills have probably gone up over the past couple of years. Now, it's important to understand how stupid of a concern this is in the first place, because we were like, oh, gosh, you know, you get rid of those power plants, that's really going to make a big difference. Is it? Is it really? Let me give you a little sense as to what kind of fraction of global emissions we're talking about here. So if you have this big pie that is all of global emissions here worldwide, you have to remember that about 88% of emissions don't come from the United States. Everyone's obsessed with the United States and what we're driving and what kind of power we're using. But 88% of global emissions come from other places, not us. So really, the focus on us is just kind of like, seems to be a little bit more about anti-capitalism than anything else. The U.S. emissions only sitting at about 12%. You might say, well, if we can, you know, lower that 12% of emissions, that could still make a difference, right? Kind of. Well, not really, because honestly, you know, when you think about any part of emissions in a country, it's just a small slice of that small slice. So it's true that 12% of emissions do come from the United States. However, a good chunk of that, in fact, 75% of that are coming from sources that are not power plants. So that leaves us global emission wise. What we're talking about here is only 3% of global emissions, a little tiny slice of a little tiny slice that come from coal and natural gas plants. And that's not even the entire picture, because things have been changing, honestly, in a direction that nobody on television wants to tell you about, because everyone wants to scare you. Everyone wants to tell you that the emissions are going crazy and we're all going to die and global warming is going to come to town and it's going to, you know, going to backhand you across the face and we're going to have these terrible storms. It's all global warming's fault. Ah, la, 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 la. You've heard this a million times. But what's the truth about what's going on with global emissions? This is part of the defense of this particular rule, but it is a fact. It is just true. In proposing to lift regulations on power plants, the EPA points out the fact that the U.S. share of global power sector emissions represented about 3% of worldwide greenhouse gases, as I just pointed out. But that's down from 5.5% in 2005. So it argued even if American power plants erased all of their greenhouse gases from the power sector, the risks to the public health would not be meaningfully improved. Of course, that's quite obviously true. You know, we were at a point up until probably around the year 2000 where every single year global emissions went up by more than 3%. Us just shutting down our entire transportation sector, our entire power plants sector, really wouldn't do that much good, especially when you think about that entire picture, all the greenhouse gas emissions, if you believe everything that the left wing will tell you about the science of the issue, adds up to about a degree temperature rise over a century. So when you're trying to micromanage a weather, your weather with an on-off button, it doesn't really happen, right? Like, there's no thermostat that controls the Earth's temperature. It's just not how this works, even though the left really wants it to work that way. Should also note that, by the way, our emissions have been dropping for a long time. These are the total greenhouse emissions for the United States. We're kind of a little bit of a chartapalooza here. But to give you a little picture of what that is, if you happen to be listening on podcast, they're going down. They've been going down since the mid-2000s. Not dramatically, but consistently, with the exception really of the COVID year where we had one dramatic drop, and even the dramatic drop, it wasn't all that dramatic, which kind of tells you something about greenhouse emissions overall. When we basically entirely shut down our economy for a year and we just had a slight drop in greenhouse gas emissions, that is kind of an issue. I'll also note that we are not the worst offenders when it comes to greenhouse gas emissions. So the five countries that produce the most carbon dioxide. Number one, not us. No, no. It's our good friends, good old-fashioned, wholesome China. China, the world's largest emitter, 11,903 million metric tons emitted in 2023. Primary source of CO2 emissions in China is fossil fuels, most notably those that burn coal. I haven't checked the stat in a while, but they were building 3 and 4 coal plants a week in China while they were bragging about their green credentials to everybody. They were going all in on coal, and it's helped build their economy up quite a bit. Now, of course, you know, we're talking about them as a real economic competitor, and a lot of that comes from the fact that they didn't do these things. They didn't try to thwart their own nation with how they produced energy. They made whatever they wanted for us, for themselves, and then sold us the expensive solar panels. So that didn't work out so well for us. Now, people who are terrified of global warming are like, oh gosh, this is a lost cause. Donald Trump's in office. They're going to get rid of these limits. And what is it going to do? Go from 3 to 3.1% to 3.2%? It's already going down. What if it slows the decrease a little bit? What would this even do? How could you even measure that in the amount of temperature rise worldwide? You wouldn't be able to. It's just a small slice. Well, they want to do something else. They got to get a little bit more drastic. They need to come up with a new plan. And now experiments to dim the sun in a bid to curb global warming will be approved by the UK government within weeks. Now, what could possibly go wrong with something like this? I mean, you stop and you think about it for a second. The geoengineering thing is this idea that you can do these things, human-made developments, to change the climate. And this was something that was tossed around back in the 70s when they were worried about global cooling. They said if we spread soot across the polar ice caps, we can melt them because the black soot will attract the heat and that will melt. That's what they wanted to do back in the 70s. Luckily, they didn't do that because then they were worried a few years later about global warming. And that, so it would have done the opposite effect. Geoengineering sounds scary. It's not crazy for scientists to think about these things, right? Because you don't know what that next problem could be. Maybe there will be something that is going to endanger us to a place that we need to do something with the sun. Who knows? It's not bad for people to have that knowledge, though you do know that a lot of times people just wind up doing it and screwing it up. I give you, for example, Wuhan. Right. The idea being, oh, well, we can just create this gain of function research. We can make the virus bad for humans and then we can solve it with our medicines. Yeah, that didn't work out all that well last time. So it is a risk here. But, you know, it's not necessarily the worst thing in the world to have these thoughts together. Some conservative leaning scientists believe, hey, maybe we should have these conversations. Like, let's figure out what the solutions could be. If they happen to be right on global warming, if we really are in this apocalypse in a few years, we can blunt the effects of that. And so I can't see how anything could possibly go wrong with an approach this way, with the exception of something, you know, like this. We are kind of turning into a situation where our scientists have a lot in common with Mr. Burns from The Simpsons.
Since the beginning of time, man has yearned to destroy the sun. I will do the next best thing. Block it out.
Good God.
By the way, I'm in Texas. It's the summer. I would totally sign up for that plan for Mr. Burns. Blocking out the sun. Sounds fantastic. This week, indulge in an amazing story about grit, redemption, and good old-fashioned family values. And you're going to want to see this one in the theaters. It's from Angel Studios. You know them. They did King of Kings. They did Homestead. They did Sound of Freedom. This one's called The Last Rodeo. It is an action-packed story of a retired rodeo legend who straps back in for one last ride, risking it all to save his grandson. It's a movie about healing broken bonds, facing the past, proving that real courage means fighting for the people you love. You're going to love this message. You're going to love Neil McDonough in this movie. He was in studio last week to talk about the movies. Great guy. They're making great stuff at Angel Studios. I remember when the movies that, a religious film or people who wanted to give you a good message, God-based message would make, and you'd be like, a faith-based film, huh? Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be great. It's not like that anymore. Angel.com/Stu. Get tickets to The Last Rodeo. These are good now. These are awesome movies, and it's great to see that these things are coming out. It's The Last Rodeo. It's in theaters right now. You can get your tickets at angel.com/Stu. Angel.com/Stu.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, Frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Cespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
I want to bring in Dave Landau, comedian and host of Normal World right here on Blaze TV. Also the author of the new book, Party of One, which you can pick up wherever you get your books. Dave, how's it going?
Great. How about you?
Very well. I'm a little concerned about the robot invasion that we're apparently inviting on.
Correct.
I thought all these movies in the past should have warned us to not necessarily embrace AI and robots on the first possibility of their creation.
Like the movie AI?
Yeah, that was one. Or iRobot.
iRobot.
It seems like all of them. There's not like one where they all just turn out wonderful.
Never.
What's Star Wars? I guess C-3PO is and R2-D2 are okay. They helped.
He's a homosexual, but I'm fine with it.
That's good. You're accepting of droid culture. I like that. There's now a split inside the robot industry, because you obviously have the AI stuff, which is really starting to actually change our lives in big ways. There's also the robot thing, and you see these videos that get leaked online of like robots beating each other. Like they're losing control. They're starting to like beat up the people who are building them.
Yes.
And there's also this industry issue where they are looking at the robots that they're creating and realizing that people are a little uncomfortable with them for some reason. People are just a tad uncomfortable about the look of them. I don't know if it's an uncanny valley thing or if it's they look like all these robots from the sci-fi nightmares?
It's definitely an uncanny valley thing. I mean, if you look at this one particular that you have on the screen, it is the one from iRobot that turns on Will Smith.
Right.
It's the exact one. The other problem is, I just watched Westworld season one for the first time. Have you ever seen
it? Oh, yeah. I started and I gave up on it.
Okay, I watched it. Yeah. And I don't know, I'm just going to be honest here for the viewers. It's a little blunt, but I don't know how much sex we plan on having with these robots. It seems like a real big problem in the future.
Really?
Like we do with every single sort of invention. That's what we end up doing with it. I think it's a terrible idea. And I think the uncanny valley to have sex with robots.
Okay. I just want to make sure you're clear on that.
Maybe it'll help, because then people will realize they actually need a real woman and to stop. It's just the creepiest thing ever that's where we go with it.
Yes.
Because immediately, they have robots that do this now.
They have sex robots.
Yes. They've put them out. Like, you can see them. I don't have any yet, but I've heard they're out. Yeah,
they're still on order. Is it the tariffs? They're still on order?
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah.
They're so expensive coming from China.
So wait, so actually making, like, these are
Correct.
Different than like the sex dolls. These are actually robots that move around and interact with you?
And talk to you.
No way.
Which is like, why would you want that with a sex doll?
No.
Like the whole talking and getting to know, it's a real problem to begin with.
Yeah.
Doesn't that take away the whole purpose of the role? Well, you want to date it?
Right.
It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Right. It's like adding all the features you don't want.
Right. It's like you just have it for the one perverted thing, and now you have to have a conversation with something.
Yeah. I'm sure you probably are at a low point as far as self-esteem after that act.
I would imagine once somebody drops it off and then you uncrate the thing and realize what garbage you are.
Yes. That is a low moment in one's life, I would think.
I would imagine the real doll's the same when you get it and you're just like, am I really doing this or should I just maybe lose 50 pounds and get a job?
Yeah, I know.
It could work out.
Seems like it would be easier. Are you finding, like, because I find this with AI too, where, like, there was this story, we did this on radio today. There was a story about the new Google video generator.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
And it's legitimately incredible. I mean, like, a one-sentence prompt will give you a pretty similar thing to, like, a big Hollywood movie, right? Like, it's in a 10-second clip.
Yes.
And someone strung a bunch of these together, and it is impressive. But there's still something about it where, like, all of this stuff still feels like I can look at it and pretty much tell. I can't describe why I can see it, but there's some problem with it that still seems off.
Well, that's the uncanny valley part is there's no human consciousness. That's what it's not able to do. All AI really is taking a bunch of information that already exists, stacking it together, and then giving you something.
Right.
It lacks originality because there's no ability for it to create an original thought. So no matter what you feed it, it's not actually going to make anything we haven't seen before, or at least as of right now.
Right.
I mean, the problem is the people who, it was like in Westworld, it's the people who design it. If they want to play God and create these things that have actual thoughts and consciousness, then we're going to get into a big problem. Like, a robot attacking you already is very bad.
Yeah.
But it kind of just should be the lesson of, maybe we shouldn't build robots. It's like building a machine that you build cars with, but it cuts your hand off immediately.
Right.
You'd go back to the drawing board, whatever it might be. That's the problem with them, is there's just that disconnect of, it can't ever be a new thought or a new feeling or have a human soul.
Or it's like if you're, maybe doing some research that makes a disease worse in Wuhan, China, and it kills a few million people, maybe you don't do that research anymore? Just stop?
Right. Yeah. What you should do is spill some on your pants and go to the wet market for a sandwich.
Yes. It's always a great place to go eat. On the AI thing, I remember one of the first uses of like this sort of like CGI right type stuff was Forrest Gump with Gary Sinise.
Yes.
Remember that? He was sitting in the wheelchair and like he actually of course has legs and then he did not and it looked really real. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Or he was talking to John Lennon.
Yeah,
first one.
Yeah, yep.
And at the time, you're like, this is amazing.
This is amazing. You look back at it now, you're like,
yeah, it's rough.
It looks a little Jessica Rabbit.
Doesn't match up at all.
It really doesn't. Now, Sinise has been obviously around forever.
He
left Hollywood at one point because I just did not relate to it.
It's Tom Hanks may have taken the shrimp boat to the island.
Yes, pretty much. And he became like a big veterans advocate. We've had him on the show before. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
He's now saying that maybe things are changing a little bit in Hollywood. Like, are you sensing that at all? Or is that too optimistic?
I think they are. I think so much has been exposed, especially with the child stuff. But I think just the fact that people are tired of it. You have a lot of people advocating that are great actors to come to Texas. Mm. You have Matthew McConaughey, you have Woody Harrelson, you have Billy Bob Thornton, you have all these people that are moving out of Hollywood.
Yeah.
I mean, Gavin Newsom has done such a horrible job that the only industry that makes California, California, which is Hollywood, is gone.
Yeah.
Like, it's there because, you know, during the Chaplin era, the weather was so consistent and they could film outside.
Mm.
Well, now we have lots of places where that can sort of work, Texas being one of them, where it's fairly, I mean, you know, not as well, but
somewhere between 12 and 114 degrees every day.
Right, but we're not filming outside on old-timey movie cameras. We can film in studios and all these other places, so it's made it irrelevant. So I believe that they have to go this direction, or what's the end result?
Yeah, I mean, you'd think, right?
I mean, the woke Snow White re-release bombing harder than the first release is hilarious.
Yes.
It just shows how little people want it.
Little people?
Midgets.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. I speak as almost one.
Yes, there you go.
They really wanted those roles, is what I'm trying to say.
Yes,
as the dwarf.
That's true. They did.
Yeah. And that's why nobody saw it. There was no midgets.
That's right. I don't even know if that's true.
I think it's partially true.
I know they were throwing that idea around. I feel like at some point they landed on having some in. I don't even know.
I think there's some dwarves, but they're not real dwarves. They're like they're CGI dwarves.
Wasn't it the guy from all the romantic comedies back in the day? What's his name?
Which one?
I don't think he was in 14 million of them in a row. Grant.
Yes.
Grant. Wasn't he the guy that was in? I think he's one of the. No, that, I'm thinking of Willy Wonka.
I think you're thinking Willy Wonka. Yeah.
Again, those are roles.
Peter
Dinklage dwarves.
Is the guy who's like, well, I wouldn't play one, but I don't want anybody else to either.
Yes.
Because he just wants all the roles in Hollywood. The ego on that that little man.
Yeah. Outsized. I'd call it outsized.
It's really too much.
I heard this clip of it was going viral for a while from the guys from Parks and Rec on whatever podcast they do.
Yeah.
And he was saying that if they did Parks and Rec today, they'd have to do it in like Hungary because it's so bad now. It's cheaper to book the plane, fly everybody over there, build the set over there, rather than just walking across the street in a lot in California. Dude,
a friend of mine was on a game show where they took the entire cast and everybody who was in the audience and flew them to Ireland.
Oh, really?
No joke, to shoot in Ireland and then fly back to America because it was cheaper than California. Why would you stay? And then if we have these things like the Google prompt, which is great, and you know what, not even to cut it off, but like a lot of this AI stuff that's scary, have you seen that they're putting up ads that have pictures of AI women and they're like, she won't show up hungover to work, and they're putting these things all over California, basically telling you not to hire human beings.
What does that do? What does that do to society, right? Like civilization in general.
It destroys it. Because what are we all going to do? Like OnlyFans only works right now, but guys are now figuring out how to turn themselves into AI women and do way more disgusting things. So we're just going to have that market too in no time.
Guys are going to own the female sex market.
That's correct.
We're building the robots.
We're building the robots.
We're building the AI.
Yeah.
This is a lesson, and we're winning all the sports events. You know, we're winning all the swimming. We're winning all the female swimming events.
Yeah.
We're winning all the female weightlifting. I mean, this is the best woman is a man.
Patriarch so crafty.
Yeah, really?
I mean, you can't help it. We've decided that it's not working out for men. Mm-hmm. We'll become women.
I like that. That'll work, I'm sure, well.
It has.
I do wonder, honestly.
The sad part is it has.
It has. Well, it will work in that way. I do wonder how a society deals with, like, not having jobs. You're from Detroit. You probably would know.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Great. I don't know if you heard about what happened in Detroit, but
everything went well. Everyone having lots of free time. Everyone just
wonderful.
Just a paradise.
There were no gangs. Drugs never came in. It was called the Paris of the Midwest, and for some reason they stopped calling it that.
Right.
But I guess if you've seen Paris lately, they could call it that again.
Now Paris is the Detroit of France.
Yeah, Dearborn is the highest Muslim population in America.
That's true.
Clear. That's, you know, Dearborn. That's the Paris of the Midwest.
Yeah, and kind of works in this.
Let's
point.
See if I get stabbed by somebody over saying.
Yeah, no, not. Just wait. Wait till Dave leaves the studio before attacking him, please. Let me take a break, Dave. You have another minute for?
Yes, sir.
A second? All right, we'll come back with more with Dave Landau here in a minute.
Bezahlen läuft für dich sowieso nur mit dem Handy? Dann hol dir doch was von deiner Kohle zurück. Denn in allen Restaurants und Bars gibt's jetzt 5% Cashback, wenn du mit PayPal zahlst. Tap dir mehr mit PayPal. Alle Infos gibt's auf paypal.de. 5% Cashback nur auf Einkäufe vor Ort in Restaurants und Bars in Deutschland bei kontaktloser Zahlung mit PayPal. Gültig vom 2. Juni bis 19. Juli 2026 für die ersten 850.000 berechtigten Kunden. Maximal 15 Euro Cashback pro Konto. Es gelten Bedingungen auf paypal.de.
We're back with Dave Landau. We were earlier discussing healthy relationships with your sex robot.
Correct.
The healthy relationship came into focus this weekend with Emmanuel Macron.
Yes.
He is the French president, prime minister, whatever they have over there.
Whatever pretend thing.
Whatever fake thing that country has. And there's a viral video that went around. They're dismissing it as not important. But Macron is standing there. If we have the video, let's roll it. He's standing there in the door of the plane in the background, and you know, people are focusing, and he seems to get pushed by a woman's face, her hands right in the face, with two hands in the face, and he realizes he's on camera right away and turns around and waves.
Yes.
Which is hilarious. Apparently, this was his wife who pushed him in the face. They're saying it's no big deal, but if you watch him once they walk down the stairs here, he offers her his arm to kind of lock in. She just goes to the other side. This doesn't seem like a positive day on the relationship train.
No, she looks gorgeous. She looks like an aging male rock star.
Yeah, she does.
Doesn't she? It's really rough.
Like a blonde Steven Tyler he's married to?
Yeah, just Bon Jovi with long hair.
Yeah.
And Bon Jovi, by the way, the worst thing to happen to New Jersey. Just
really? Okay.
I couldn't hate someone more. But yeah, that's a pimp slap. I mean, because you see that he's kind of taunting her, and she's like, this is going to be like, she pushes and shoves him until he puts on his I better behave in public face.
Yeah.
And you can tell he is a broken man who immediately is like, I'm sorry, you're right.
Yeah.
I'm a weak Frenchman.
It kind of looks that way. I mean, have you ever had you've had many adventures in your life. Have we covered your book, Party of One? Did you ever have a woman push you like that?
I have been punched in the face once and slapped.
Okay, which one was worse?
I think the slap.
Slap, because stinks.
Yeah, the punch in the face wasn't because I was doing anything, by the way. I want to point that out.
Yes.
She was very, very drunk and turned around hard to hit her friend, and my face was there.
Okay, all right.
We were very young. But the slap came because I teased a girl behind us at the movie theater, and she just belted me. It was a James Bond 007. Mm-hmm. The GoldenEye.
Okay.
Which is why I don't think I like those movies. They just bring back a fear of this 13-year-old girl slapping me in the face for no reason.
Oh, okay.
But I'll tell you, I straightened up.
You did?
I did. I kind of pulled a hymn where I was like, all right, you're serious about this. I'm going to act right.
Wow.
If a woman hits you, you're raised to not hit back.
Of course.
You know, you don't hit back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I only hit women for a couple years when I was pimping.
Okay.
I consider that a job.
Right, and that was part of your career, your acting, or rapping career.
That's correct, I wanted to be authentic.
Right, of course.
Right.
And you are so authentic. Do you know the circumstances of the meeting of these two, Macron and his wife?
I don't know, I'm guessing he's the bottom.
Right. It's a great guess. Not where I was going, but a great guess.
Okay.
You noticed the age disparity there. There's seemed to be a few years. Well, it's true. She was apparently his teacher. She was like, he was 15 when they met, and she was like in her 30s. And the parents found out that they were like, had a thing going on, pulled him out of the school and moved him. And like across the country or to another school or something. And they went to her and they said, stop seeing my son. She's like, I can't guarantee that.
Really?
Yeah, he was like a student. And of course, this is France. So this stuff, I guess, just flies. I don't know.
I don't know. Well, I mean, clearly a female teacher having sex with a male student has never happened in America, thank God.
But usually it at least give you a scandalous Netflix series or something.
Now it gives you jail time.
Yeah.
I mean, the first 30, we judged them by the looks if they were guilty or not. But now we're like, are you all doing it?
Right. Yeah, it does seem that way. Yeah, because I feel like early on in that phenomenon, it was only hot teachers who had sex with their students.
Yes.
Now we've broadened it a little too broad.
I think it was like 10 years ago, SNL did a sketch on it that I love where Pete Davidson was the one who was like the student.
Yeah.
And he's like, were you hurt? And he was like, well, pretty much just my hand from all the high fives I received from other students. But now it's just 10 years later and you're like, this has become a very serious issue that
yeah.
I want to bring up.
Well, that's parenting too. Like it's all fun and games when I'm 18 or, I'm 24 and I'm like joking, oh, I remember when I was in high school. Now that my kids are approaching high school, not funny at all anymore.
No, now that
it's not hilarious.
Yeah, now that I'm a dad, I'm like, don't date your teacher.
Don't tell your
It's really important, actually.
Yeah.
I want you to earn those A's.
Right. Yeah.
Not give her the D's.
It'll be even more depressing if they do hook up and then they still get a D. Right. Then you're like, gosh, I'm really disappointed in you, son.
This is how hard you tried both times?
Wait, I'm looking at your test scores. You actually have a C and she still gave you a D. Right. How bad were you?
Wow, this is terrible, son. I'm just, so many love. We're sending you to boarding school where you'll have male teachers. You know what? We're going to just drop out.
Right. It's time to drop out. We're going to go to
trade school.
Yes, exactly.
We're going to teach you to build.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's crazy, though. I think that shows, though, that she has a dominant control over him. And
yeah.
Just by that relationship, and then the video you see proves it.
It's almost how you would get elected in France, right? You're just being dominated all the time. What else are you supposed to do as leader of France?
Yeah, you got to throw up a white flag and let a teacher marry you and slap you around. That way you can be a leader.
Right. It's central to your role. What else would they the culture wouldn't understand anything else.
No, they're like, who's this strong man?
Who's this guy who's firing back? I don't like that at all.
No, let's have a croissant and vote for someone else.
All right, last story for you here before you go, Dave. This is from Checkers. You know Checkers? It's a fast food.
Yeah. And Rallies in the Midwest.
Yes, the same basic place, but branded differently. Checkers and Rallies. That was my first when I first delved into real serious weight gain. It was in Florida when I first went there after high school, and there was a Checkers, maybe halfway home from work. And it was like
perfect spot.
I'd be hungry leaving work on the halfway home. You go, I'll just go through there. What's the big deal? I've been right after high school. You eat whatever you want. You're always fine.
You're good to go.
And then I noticed eating. I used to get the chili burger.
Yeah.
You know, remember this?
Yes, I do.
and the fries.
Yeah.
Which the fries are, if you don't know Rallies or Checkers, they're like straight curly fries.
They're delightful.
They taste like curly fries, but they're straight. They're very good. Yeah. Very good fries. And I just ate that every day after work, thinking that would be completely fine. It wasn't, dude.
Oh, really?
The chili
burger made you gain weight.
Yeah, about 30 pounds later, I was like, gosh, I'm noticing some differences.
Have you shared this with the medical community?
They didn't even ask for a study.
Really?
Yeah, it's shocking. It's shocking. Well, somebody apparently is passionate.
Anyway, I have no business to judge.
No,
I've eaten so many of those.
Oh, gosh, yeah. That's good, though.
Yeah.
Checkers is in the news for really terrible reasons, actually. But I don't know, there's... part of me relates to this story. Checkers employee allegedly shot and killed a customer over a missing packet of mayo. This is a guy named Elijah Mackey. He was the server. He shot a 40-year-old customer, Wesley Robertson, last week. After Robertson complained about his order through the drive-thru window, a witness said he was missing packets of mayo, and that caused the battle. Now, I can understand being very upset. You can almost see this happening the other way around, where the customer doesn't get the mayo.
I used to do a joke about that, it was years ago when it happened, where somebody got shot over pickles who was working the drive-thru, and I was like, well, I mean, no pickles means no pickles. How many times do you have to ask until one day you lose it?
Yeah.
But I've never thought it would happen the other way around.
Yeah.
Where they're like, you didn't ask for mayo.
Right. What?
What an awful condiment to be killed over.
Yeah, well...
Not to make light of it. I'm not saying it doesn't. Some people like mayo.
I mean, it's
fine. It's fine if you're Canadian.
I think it's a very white guy thing. I had a friend who worked at KFC, and he would
you never go to a black barbecue, and they're like, make sure you bring mayo.
Mayo, right. My friend worked at KFC. He said the only time anyone ever ordered mayo was the white people, and he would tell me it wasn't particularly frequent because there wasn't particularly a lot of white people who would come in. This is, by the way, an African-American gentleman telling me this story.
Of course.
So he was very observant of who was coming in.
Oh, and I love KFC. I'm the white guy walking in.
You're the white guy, but you wouldn't get mayo.
I know who's in line. Yeah. Right. No, I wouldn't get mayo.
No.
I'm not a Nazi.
A Nazi?
Just saying, you can do better than mayo.
I feel like mayonnaise sounds like very France. Like that could be a region in France. Like I went from Nice to Cannes to mayonnaise.
The whitest neighborhood ever.
Yeah.
I live in the mayonnaise estates in Dallas. It's the biggest homes you'll see. There's two gates to get in.
Yes, it is. Do you feel like, what's the punishment here? Because I feel like, you do something, you shoot somebody over this. Like, what was the movie that came out, Falling Down? Remember Falling Down with
Michael Douglas?
And he was pissed because he started threatening to shoot the employees because it was 5 minutes after breakfast ended.
It was the McDonald's breakfast, but we pretended it wasn't McDonald's, but we all knew.
We all knew. And we'd all had that experience.
And we all agreed. Let's be honest.
We kind of agreed that it felt like, yeah, it's justified.
Yeah.
That was the point of the movie, I think.
Yeah. Also, it was 10 and not 10:30. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
What, do you want me to have a burger at 10:05?
Yeah, that's crazy.
I have a gun. Go get a sandwich.
Crack an egg.
Right.
Go do it.
Like, 10:30 is appropriate. Mm-hmm. 10 a.m.? I'll have a 10:45 burger and still feel like a human.
Yeah.
But anything before that.
That's just nuts. What about, is there a midway time where you're putting an egg on a burger? Would you do that?
Oh, I would do that.
Into that?
I'm not into it, but I've had it and I'm okay with it.
Yeah, okay.
You know, like I think if you do put the egg on the burger between 10:30 and 11, you and I should open Dave and Stew's because we've just figured out a half hour perfect restaurant.
Yeah, it is kind of a half hour perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
It's only open for a half hour a day. Just come in.
10:30 to 11.
In that window. This is the sort of related, but I feel like, you know, we spend a lot of time, especially here on The Blaze, talking about all the things that went wrong during COVID.
Yes.
And like what COVID took from us, right? Like, you know, education for kids, we lost, you know, months of our lives, like all these terrible things. I mean, you in particular going on the road, like they just took your industry away for 6 months.
Destroyed. Well, and they turned them all into radio hosts.
Yeah.
And I want to say I was one before the pandemic.
That's right. You were.
3 years. And then, yeah. Then
they all became podcasters.
And everyone is a radio host.
Yes. That's very strange. They're attacking both of our industries here.
Right. Dave. Yeah. And stand up. Yeah.
The one thing that we overlook is what COVID took from us was all day breakfast at McDonald's.
It did.
That was an incredible time. Like all of a sudden I was able to go in and get like an Egg McMuffin at 8 p.m.
Yeah, they had it limited, but there was still a McGriddles on it, which, yep, you know, is pluralized, doesn't have to be. And you go in, and there you get some cheese on that.
Oh, my God.
And I would just sit there like, this feels right. Thank you, McDonald's,
right,
for finally realizing the error of your way.
Right, and it's 3:45 p.m., and you're just chowing down on McGriddles, right?
The thing you want.
That's what you want. Yeah. And then they were like, oh, well, you know, it's COVID. We have to limit our menu. We're like, okay, you know, all right, I get it. You know, people aren't... Although people were going to McDonald's, I feel like, more during COVID, but okay, whatever.
Right.
And then it just never came back.
No.
They scammed us out of this, Dave.
The only positive that came out of COVID, mm-hmm, was people are like, we want to look at these shake machines to make sure they're clean. And that, because we now found out that none of these shake machines were broken. They just were not using them. Mm. That's why you would go and try to get a shake, and they're like, sorry, shake machine's down. And you're like, it's $7.50.
Right.
I don't believe you, you liar.
Right.
That's how someone gets shot.
Right. Yeah. I mean, look.
How many times are you going to lie to me and be like, well, we have McFlurries? I'm like, I don't want a McFlurry. I want a shake.
Right.
But I mean, why do you have a gun at work at rallies?
Yeah, I don't know. It feels like not necessarily the... maybe it is appropriate, actually. Now
I mean,
I
guess...
I've been in many checkers over
But, I mean, let's say they're robbing the place. Mm-hmm. I'm not... If you hire me anywhere, I'm not standing up for them. It's like being a cop. Like, yeah, can you imagine not being a crooked one?
Right.
Like, if I go into a house and there's $1 million of cash and 500 grand in cocaine, I'm turning in $2,000 in cash and $1 in cocaine.
Right.
Like, there's no reason.
No.
Like, I'm arresting criminals. Why would I not fill my trunk with all this money? It makes
good
no
point. It does seem to be common, too.
If someone's like, give me the money out of the cash register, I'd be like, first of all, you're going to be very disappointed to hear about how many cards we use, which is like everybody.
Right.
But here's your $17.
Right. Yes. I like that. I think, you know, the day after Memorial Day, the sacrifice for our soldiers, I do think of myself sometimes and be like, I mean, even if my country was invaded, I'd be like, I mean, I can learn Russian, you know, like, it's not, how long would it take? You know, I'm that big of a wuss.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine defending checkers with all of my honor.
No.
Like, who cares if they lose their money? Who
no, I'm flat-footed. Even the military when I was 18 was like, nah.
Yeah, no, we're all set. I believe you started this with your partial midget. There's not
yes,
a
exactly.
ton of midgets.
What would I do in war? be like, I can pick you up and take you to safety. Actually, I can't. You are much heavier and taller than me.
Your legs are all at the knee level or dragging on the ground.
It circles back to Lieutenant Dan. Even with his legs gone, I would be dragging him by his hands. And he'd be like, can you just leave me? Just leave me in the desert.
That would be better than this. Dave Landau, be sure to catch him on Normal World right here on Blaze TV. Also, grab a copy or two of his new book. It's called Party of One. It is available wherever you get your books. Make sure you get it. It's really funny. Dave, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Dave, before we go, are you going to be out at all?
Yes, actually, Wednesday night you can see me in Tyler, Texas at the Rose Theater, and Thursday you can see me at the Improv in Houston, Texas.
Nice.
And if I can't overly do it, this Saturday I will be at the Diamondback Music Hall in Belleville, Michigan.
Look at you remembering three things.
It's
really
crazy.
Good. That was really good.
I don't know what happened. I must have taken a mood stabilizer and not known it.
DaveLandau.com for tickets and such?
Yes.
All right, go there, DaveLandau.com. All right, let me tell you a little bit about big life changes, okay? Think about changing your life, moving from one city to another, buying or selling a home. I mean, that can be really, really hard. The paperwork alone can fill, you know, like a library. The financial stakes are huge. The whole process feels like you're kind of navigating a maze blindfolded. That's the real estate experience. Finding the right real estate agent can kind of change all of that. Not someone doing this part-time in between yoga classes. I'm talking about somebody who actually can do a good job on your biggest investment. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com is a place to go. You can connect homeowners with the top-selling agents in your area. These are pros who know how to close deals. They can help you with all the details because the details can be plentiful. Agents who have mastered the art of negotiation and actually return your phone calls, which would be nice in 2025. They understand what buyers want. They understand what renovations and you know should be valued, which ones you should skip, which ones you should do. That's a really important thing when you're selling a house. Most importantly, they get deals done without all the drama. So go to realestateagentsitrust.com. The name says it all. You're going to find the best real estate agent in your area. It's a free service to you. realestateagentsitrust.com. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. There's been a slew of cryptocurrency crimes that have gone on as of late, at least in the media has been reporting on these. A U.S. tourist drugged by a fake Uber driver and robbed of $123,000 of Bitcoin. This is interesting because, so he was at a bar, he went out to get an Uber and got into the wrong car, I guess, and then was taken and drugged in the car after he had a cigarette that was laced with something. That guy then took his private keys that he was keeping on his phone, which, I mean, you're nuts if you were to do something like that, and then sped away. And he lost all of his money. A very strange story. You got into the wrong Uber. That person, how would that person even know you had Bitcoin? Then they know where to search for your private keys on your phone. How did they get into your phone if you were passed out? I don't know. I mean, maybe like fingerprint, I guess. The whole thing is very suspicious. I'm very suspicious of that story. The whole thing. All these stories are very suspicious. All the crypto stuff is so weird. How about this one? Swiss crypto bigwig partying in Hamptons for Memorial Day before he surrenders over horrific Soho torture of Bitcoin billionaire. And you're like, wait, huh? So this guy who is a crypto trader, they say he was torturing another guy who to try to get his Bitcoin, private keys or they say password all the time in these reports. I can't exactly tell what they're saying that they got from him. But he was tortured inside of a townhouse in Manhattan. And the guy who was doing the torturing, they say, is worth at least $100 million. Now, it's one thing, I guess, if you're struggling for cash, you really need it, you're going to become a fake Uber driver, you're going to steal $100,000. All right, I wouldn't advise it, boys and girls, but okay, maybe you can kind of understand someone went desperate for money. If you have $100 million already, what are you trying to... I don't know, just live the life of luxury that you have already. I don't even understand what you're doing. You're torturing. It sounds like just somebody wants to torture somebody. That's what it sounds like to me. It sounds like somebody just likes torture. That's what it sounds like. But anyway, he tortures him in Manhattan and then goes and parties in the Hamptons and, of course, gets arrested. Speaking of torture, before we go, Representative Jasmine Crockett says she's going to run to be the top Dem in key committee. I can provide what we need. I want to say this right now. I want to go on record, on a limb right now. As a, you know, you'd say, hey, you're a conservative, so what do you have to say about the Democratic inner party situations like this? I could say this. The right woman for the job is Jasmine Crockett. I don't even know what the job is, okay? Give her the job, let her come out, let her go on television more, let her speak more. She needs to be the face of your party. If not, I mean, I hate to bring it up, but is it racism? Is that why you're not allowing her to become the face of the party? That's what it seems like to me. So just avoid these baseless claims of racism and go out there and put her in control of this committee, all committees. I mean, I'm just saying Crockett 2028. Is that too much to ask? You know, that's what I want as a human being. And hopefully that one's right around the corner. While network anchors try to gaslight America about what they're seeing with their own eyes, Blaze TV provides clarity without the spin. Our hosts break down complex issues in ways that actually make sense. We investigate stories that deserve attention but get buried in the news cycle. And we connect the dots where others are kind of ignoring that type of stuff these days. Blaze TV subscribers get access to voices that can not be controlled by corporate media. We also have these investigative reports that are great documentaries. I did the one on the FAA that's available for you as a Blaze TV subscriber. So many other great ones as well. We've got analysis that respects your intelligence. Kind of a shocking idea instead of talking down to you. All streaming on demand, really wherever you are and any device that you own. If you want to keep the momentum building, help the movement, Blaze TV costs just $8 a month. It's only 26 cents a day. Go to StuDoesAmerica.com. Sign up today. StuDoesAmerica.com. The code is Stu. You get $20 off your annual plan right now. It's Blaze TV, unfiltered, unafraid, on demand.
Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer?